BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk on VCY America as we continue to inform you on critical matters. Friday today, we're going to be having a news roundup day. And so often as we come to these days, I think of Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We so often see that happening in our society today on so many different fronts. The scripture says, woe to those. And as certainly as a watchman on the wall, we continue to keep you informed on critical issues and helping those who know Christ the Savior, of course, to be salt and light, to be understanding of the times in which we live and to understand the critical responsibilities we have in this nation and certainly to share the good news of the gospel with others. Before we get into the full context of our news roundup today, we've been able to reconnect here with our reporter from LifeSiteNews.com, Madeline Jacob, who's been covering the story of Jeffrey Younger. He's the father trying to save his 7-year-old son, James, from being transitioned into a girl. And Madeline, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Thank you, Jim. It's so nice to be here.
And Madeline, you've been covering this story from its inception, and you've been in the courtroom day after day after day. You were with us earlier this week, and I know yesterday, for some odd reason, you were denied access to the courtroom, but tell us what transpired inside those courtroom walls.
Yeah, so yesterday the judge closed the court, and she only let in people with a hard press pass, which were mainstream media. So myself, the Texan, who had also been there all week long for the entire trial, we unfortunately weren't able to get in. There were a few other news agencies that also were kind of stuck outside.
But this was the same. This was the same mainstream media that didn't care less about the story earlier.
Exactly. All the people who went in, none of them had been there for the actual trial itself. The reporter for the Texan actually, she commented to the fact that it just seems unfair and so unjust that the judge was preferencing these people because, I mean, it's hard card press passes are really for those that mainstream media who are in the courts every day or multiple times a week.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what happened inside the courtroom then? It was kind of a shocking ruling.
Yeah, we were very pleasantly surprised. It's not necessarily the huge win that we could have gotten, but it's not the terrible loss that we were kind of all expecting. So Mr. Younger was granted 50-50 custody of the boys, which is actually an increase over the custody that he had before. He got to see his boys maybe between around 40% of the time before, and that means that he doesn't need to pay child support. It means that he and mom have split decision-making, and this is huge, on medical, psychiatric, psychological decisions. So there's, at this point in time, James will not be able to transition because mom can't do that behind dad's back anymore. Every single decision needs to be approved by both parents. So that's a huge victory. And then the judge also specified some, I mean, because it was a decently long ruling, she went into great detail, from what I've heard, into some specifics. So she specified exactly how the parents need to interact with each other when they're in front of their children. She specified that mom gets to pick sports or extracurriculars for James one season, dad gets to pick it the other season. So there were a lot of specifics in her ruling to prevent any bickering or lack of clarity. Additionally, she mandated family counseling for everybody. And one of the things that she did touch on, she read Dr. Georgelis's testimony where Dr. Georgelis stated during the trial that, you know, maybe she was over-affirming James in some ways. And so she kind of made a big point of that from what I've heard and what I've seen to tell Dr. Georgelis she's not allowed to push this like she was before.
Now, how is a father prohibited from calling his son James in public?
No, thankfully he is not. The judge actually specifically commented on that the state did not find reasonable evidence to interfere in the father's ability to call his son by his legal name.
Wow.
I thought it was interesting the wording she used, because it's his legal name. I mean, the idea that that ever could have happened, or that the state was even entertaining looking into that, to me kind of seems crazy. So, and additionally, both parents now have a gag order on, Dr. Georgelis and Mr. Younger have a complete gag order, so they can't speak about the case until both of the boys are 18.
Wow. Well, I know there's some other aspects of this that perhaps may follow other legal channels through the process, but considering where the jury was coming down on Monday of this week, that it seems to be a really an answer to prayer.
I really and truly, I think that it was divine intervention that brought us to where we are, because the judge's record really didn't indicate that this was a ruling we were going to get. And I think that everybody's prayer, everybody's support, you know, just getting the word and the story out there, I think that that either changed the judge's heart or changed somebody else's heart,
right,
who had the judge's ear, because that's, you know, there's no other logical explanation for it besides that just prayer and support that I know all of your listeners around you were standing behind, mm-hmm, Jeff and James on.
On another issue, what about the education of the child? Is he referred to as James? Is his name, his given name for schooling, or will he be known as Luna in school?
So there's actually some ambiguity on that at the current moment. Since mom and dad have joint custody, they're going to have to figure out a way to agree on how James is going to interact in school. Since Jeff can't speak, you know, I can't speak with him or speak for him, but I've heard through other people that, you know, it would be unlikely for Jeff to pull James out of school, because Jeff really, at his core, wants what's best for his kids.
Sure.
And pulling his son out of school halfway through the school year just wouldn't necessarily be in his best interest. So I can't confirm that. I don't know what they'll do moving forward, but I do know that there's the possibility for schooling and, names and things like that to change.
One further question here in conclusion, and that is, you had reported earlier that Governor Abbott was going to be looking into this. What do we know about any response from the governor's office on this matter?
Actually, the Texas Attorney General, Ken Paxton, issued a letter yesterday, the 24th, issued a letter kind of calling out the Texas Family and Protective Services Department, saying, you know, this has come to my attention, but you guys knew about this for a year. You know, why did you all not act on this? I demand that you immediately start an emergency investigation into what's going on. And he didn't outright call what's happening to James and Jude child abuse, but he included the definition for child abuse, and he made sure to emphasize that the boys were in immediate danger in their current situation with mom. And so we can only presume that the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services is going to start this investigation, since the Attorney General demanded it, since the governor's called on them. But we'll see, you know, what emergency and immediate means to them and what kind of comes from it.
Madeline, thank you so much for being there day after day, covering this story, informing the readers of LifeSiteNews.com, interviewing with us on this critical matter as well. And I'm confident if there's any other developments, you're going to be writing about it at LifeSiteNews.com.
Most definitely. People can stay up to date on what's going on at LifeSiteNews.com.
Thank you so much, Madeline, for the update here today.
Thank you, Jim. Have a wonderful day.
Okay.
God bless you and all your listeners.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. That was Madeline Jacob from LifeSiteNews.com with an update here on the case of Jeffrey Younger, the father trying to save his 7-year-old son, James, from being transitioned into a girl, which you cannot biologically do, no matter if you change outward appearance. But nonetheless, this is a victory from the standpoint that the sole custody was not awarded to the mother. They have to make joint decisions, and that includes psychological and medical care, etc., meaning that the transitioning that had been hoped for by the mother is not going to see its pathway forward at this point. Wanted to provide you that update here today on our news roundup. Well, there's so much more going on. Matter of fact, I've got more stories than we have minutes in the program today. Let's get a few issues covered today, though. So much going on in Washington. I tell you, the charade that is going on with these so-called impeachment inquiry hearings, it is outrageous. The fact that these are behind closed doors, people that are being kept from this, legislators that are being kept from this. Here's a few stories on the issue from FoxNews.com. Just hours after dozens of House Republicans stormed a closed-door deposition in a secure area and disrupted Democrats' impeachment inquiry, House Oversight Committee Ranking Member Jim Jordan kept the pressure on Democrats by pushing for more transparency, including public testimony from the whistleblower at the center of the probe. Matter of fact, House Republicans stormed this closed-door session Wednesday connected to the impeachment investigation of President Donald Trump that prompted House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff to suspend the proceedings. Lawmakers held a press conference Wednesday morning where they accused House Democrats of a lack of transparency. House Minority Whip Steve Scalise said, "What is Adam Schiff trying to hide?" I think that's the question so many people have, so many of my colleagues have, so many people in the press should have. Let's just listen into a few of those comments from that press conference.
And so Adam Schiff has been conducting the secret inquiry on his terms with his rules, throwing out all of the precedent of the three previous impeachment inquiries of presidents of the United States. When you had Nixon impeachment, when you had the Clinton impeachment, the House voted to start a process. They used the same rules. Same rules for Republicans, same rules for Democrats. Both sides could call witnesses. Today, only Adam Schiff calls the witnesses. Only Adam Schiff is allowed to issue subpoenas. Adam Schiff doesn't even allow the president's legal counsel to be in the room to hear what's going on. And yet it deals with impeaching a president of the United States. And he wants to do it on a one-sided term to create some kind of file of his own to use as the basis of impeachment. That, whatever Adam Schiff is putting together today is a tainted document because it's a one-sided document. It's a document that's been created in secret, behind closed doors, and when we showed up today to find out exactly what's going on, he got out of the room and left with the witness. It was disgraceful. This has been a disgraceful process. This is a Soviet-style process. This should not be allowed in the United States of America. Every member of Congress ought to be allowed in that room. The press ought to be allowed in that, ought to be allowed in that room.
That is House Whip Steve Scalise. Speaking out Wednesday outside that hearing room as he and his fellow Republicans were denied access on Wednesday. Matter of fact, also coming from the Washington Free Beacon, Democrats are denying Republican lawmakers access to a trove of documents surrounding the impeachment proceedings against President Trump. Unless they are supervised by Democratic staffers, they're calling this an outrage. They say, "We urge you to remedy this procedural injustice immediately so I'm not forced to pursue public efforts to correct it, including by seeking privileged vote on the House floor," lawmakers wrote. Truly troubling indeed. And Lindsey Graham even introduced a Senate resolution yesterday condemning this closed-door process of the House Democrats' impeachment investigation. 39 of the 53 other Senate Republicans joined him in calling the impeachment drive illegitimate and also dangerous. He said every American should be disturbed by what is taking place in the House of Representatives regarding the attempt to impeach President Donald Trump. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
To Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what caused the Ice Age?
Chris, as near as we can tell, the Ice Age came after the flood, kind of an after effect of the flood caused by the flood itself. The primary cause of the Ice Age was that snow accumulated in vast quantities and did not melt, as it piled up and turned into ice and began to flow as glaciers. The real need for enhanced snowfall is more evaporation from the ocean waters, and this would have happened if the ocean waters were warmer. We see from Scripture that the fountains of the great deep brought up superheated waters from deep inside the earth. I suspect that the flood waters were significantly warmer than today. This evaporation provided the raw material for the ice age. Even though the ice age isn't mentioned by name in Scripture, it is intimated. Even the ice age goes back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
We have a news roundup Friday going on today here on Crosstalk. Thanks for joining us as we continue on. We were talking about impeachment. By the way, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, as WesternJournal.com reported, told reporters this week that if the House voted to impeach President Trump, he said, it won't be up to me to decide how the Senate trial will be conducted. Senate will have to follow existing rules of the trial unless 100 senators vote to change the rules. Chief Justice John Roberts would be the one to conduct the investigation. McConnell said, unlike other processes in the Senate, the majority leader does not really have ball control here. On another note, CNSNews.com is reporting a White House website, We the People petition, called on Congress to impeach Pelosi for treason. It's garnered more than 250,000 signatures. As of Wednesday, more than 260,000 people signed this petition to impeach Nancy Pelosi for the way that she has conducted her impeachment inquiry of President Trump. The late Representative Elijah Cummings lying in state yesterday, Statutory Hall of the Capitol. Some of the speakers there giving tribute, Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, Mark Meadows, Steny Hoyer as well. From FoxNews.com, President Donald Trump announced the conditions have been met between Turkey and the Kurdish-led Syrian Democratic Forces for what he called a permanent ceasefire between the two sides, and that the U.S. is lifting sanctions that were implemented following the invasion of northern Syria. The president added that if Turkey breaches the ceasefire, the sanctions would be reimposed. He said the sanctions are lifted unless something happens that we're not happy with. The president said Wednesday that nearly all U.S. troops will be leaving Syria, but some will remain to safeguard oil fields in Syria. Russian forces have already begun joint patrols with Turkish forces along the Turkish-Syrian border. Also coming to us from CNSNews.com, a bipartisan Senate bill contains a provision requiring the administration to explore viable alternative locations for U.S. military troops and assets that are now based in Turkey. From the Times of Israel, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu announced that he had failed to muster the coalition after almost 4 weeks of effort, therefore returned the mandate to form a government to the president, Reuven Rivlin. Rivlin will now charge Blue and White Party leader Benny Gantz with the task of trying to muster a coalition that can win a Knesset majority. If no one succeeds, elections will be initiated automatically in a third round. In a video statement, Netanyahu, turned 70 on Monday, said that he had worked incessantly over the past 26 days to form a broad government, a national unity government, but had been thwarted by its leader, Gantz. Rivlin had suggested a unity government in which power would be equally divided, and Netanyahu and Gantz would each serve 2 years as prime minister. However, efforts to even bring that about had failed. Taking a look at some other news. Oh, yeah, fireworks going on at the White House. What happened? Well, the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Ben Carson, opened a Trump cabinet meeting with prayer. That's right, he said a prayer at the opening of cabinet meeting after President Trump asked him to say grace. Outrage coming from atheist groups in the country. Here we have from the Washington Examiner. State Department has identified nearly 600 security violations and its now completed review of email records of dozens of former agency officials and aides. The former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, the investigation covered 33,000 emails that Clinton provided for review, found 91 valid violations attributed to 38 individuals, some of whom may face disciplinary action. Another 497 violations could not be tied to any specific person. From the Epoch Times, the Department of Homeland Security starting to start collecting DNA from illegal immigrants for the FBI's massive database. According to the Department of Justice, they issued a proposed rule change October 21st that eliminates a 2008 exception given to Homeland Security that exempted non-U.S. citizens from the DNA Fingerprint Act of 2005. It allows the Attorney General and other federal agencies to collect DNA samples from individuals arrested or detained under U.S. authority. From CNSNews.com, a judge for the Southern District of Texas has sentenced a Mexican national who has resided illegally in the U.S. since 1997 to federal prison for 63 months for possessing more than 10,000 child pornography images, reported U.S. Attorney Ryan Patrick. Let's see. Oh, in some other news going on, by the way, the U.S. Border, this is Western Journal, the U.S. Border Patrol chief for San Diego sector said the installation of a new wall system has made a startling difference in terms of illegal crossings in the country. They're talking in that sector, the number of apprehensions dropped from 6,880 in March to 3,326 in August. That's more than a 50% drop. From Breitbart, Senator Elizabeth Warren and Senator Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin sent a letter to the Department of Homeland Security demanding that transgender border crossers and illegal aliens be released into the U.S. rather than being held in Mexico under President Trump's Remain in Mexico policy. They're outraged. Here is a statement from Elizabeth Warren saying from Twitter, "Trans migrants and asylum seekers are particularly vulnerable. We must end unnecessary detention and enforce strict standards to keep trans migrants and asylum seekers safe, and I'll continue holding our government accountable when they fail to do so. The demand for transgender border crossers to be released in the U.S. interior is the latest case that Warren has made for open borders while on the campaign trail." The United Nations in trouble. They are looking at a shortage of cash, says BreakingIsraelNews.com. They might be unable to continue carrying out its task because certain member states are not paying their dues, reports Euronews. The UN chief, Antonio Guterres, has said that the international body was facing the worst cash crisis in almost a decade, and it's also risking not being able to pay its staff and vendors. The only permanent members of the UN Security Council who hasn't paid its bills is the United States. President Trump often decries the amount that the U.S. contributes to the annual budget because the U.S. recently paid approximately 22% of the operating budget, also is responsible for 28% of the peacekeeping budget. From Vox, the latest Iowa poll shows a three-way race between former Vice President Joe Biden, Senator Elizabeth Warren, and South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg. Following the October Democratic presidential debate, there was a telephone poll. University in USA Today found Biden in the lead with 18%, Warren 17%, Buttigieg 13%, margin of error 4.4 percentage points, Bernie Sanders fourth with a 9% support. Very interesting indeed. By the way, speaking of Bernie Sanders, Newsmax.com reports that he has promised on Thursday, yesterday, that in his first 100 days in the White House, well, he'd be issuing an executive order directing that marijuana be removed from the list of controlled federal substances. Sanders unveiled a legislative plan that would also vacate the records of those convicted of marijuana-related crimes and invest tax revenue from legal sales of the drug in communities hit hardest by the enforcement of marijuana laws. From Bernie Sanders says, "We're going to legalize marijuana and end the horrifically destructive war on drugs." The race for the Democratic nomination has one less contender, reports LifeNews.com. Congressman Tim Ryan of Ohio dropped out. In 2015, Ryan had officially changed his position on abortion, now says he supports legalized abortion, dropping out of the presidential race. Interesting event happening in Phoenix, Arizona. More than a week after the original incident, a Phoenix doctor had been arrested after pro-life demonstrators claimed a gun was pointed at them during a pro-life protest outside an abortion clinic. Dr. Ronald Yunus was charged with aggravated assault in connection with the incident, the police department from Phoenix reported. On October 10th, police received reports from the Acacia Women's Center that said a man in a car pointed a gun at pro-life demonstrators, according to the Arizona Republic. Well, a video posted, and I saw it, shows protesters milling around outside the clinic as a car leaves. A voice in the video claims the person driving is the abortionist. Protester then goes near the car and says, "Dude, you're a coward." And then the video appears to show the driver pointing a gun at the protester before driving off. Phoenix police said at first they did nothing about it. I mean, they saw the video. It's to me, it was very obvious what that image looked like. It looked like a gun. Phoenix police said that there was a lapse in time between the incident and the arrest to carry out an investigation. Police responded to the incident, gathering evidence, including the video recorded by the people outside the women's clinic. And they also had determined no threat at that given point, but went back and interviewed Giannis. Was the final step in gathering the evidence. Friday morning last week, officers began the process of taking him into custody. By the way, in Northern Ireland, the country was forced to abandon its protections for the unborn babies after the British government voted to force Northern Ireland to legalize abortion for basically any reason up to 28 weeks of pregnancy, reports LifeNews.com. The vote happened because Northern Ireland had not had a functioning government for about 3 years. Its political leaders had until midnight on Monday to reform a government and reject the law, but pro-life lawmakers made several attempts to do so, but they did not succeed. The bright news coming out of this is that recently 911 medical professionals signed a letter in opposition to legalized abortion in the country, and indications that hundreds of doctors and nurses in Northern Ireland refusing to kill babies by abortion. Okay, some other news going on. Let's go to, this is very interesting from during the CNN Democratic debate here from a little over a week ago, featured an atheist commercial mocking burning in hell, Christianity and God. This is from LifeSiteNews.com. It was a commercial shown during the CNN Democratic presidential debate. You have Ron Reagan, who is the son of President Ronald Reagan, declared as an unabashed atheist, not afraid of burning in hell. Here's what he said in the spot. He said, "Hi, I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusion of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective association of atheists and agnostics working to keep the state and church separate, just like our founding fathers intended." Well, that's his belief. Please support Freedom From Religion Foundation. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell. I would ask that you pray that this man's eyes be open to the truth, that he comes to know the one who is offered the gift of salvation to keep him from suffering an eternity in hell. Okay, LifeSiteNews.com. Also, a library in Canada has come under fire for allowing a feminist who argues against transgenders, men who present themselves as women, using girls and women's restrooms and locker rooms, to proceed as planned. Toronto's top librarian, Vickery Bowles, said that she will not back down on her decision to allow a woman to speak at an event organized by a local group, not supporting free speech. I'm standing up for free speech. But the library there refused to ban a speaker who's critical of transgender rights. So often we find those that are supporting the LGBT agenda. And she is allowing a speaker in that is in opposition to it. And now she's coming under great opposition. Oh, and also here from CNSNews.com, as part of its pro-LGBT agenda, Disney executives confirmed that two characters in the animated kid show Star Wars Resistance are a, quote, gay couple. Disney executive producers said that they're proud the two characters, Orca and Flix, are a gay couple. And Star Wars Resistance nominated for an Emmy in 2018. Disney Channel deliberately choosing to promote adult content to children, says a representative from 1MillionMoms.com, while the entire Disney media empire is sacrificing children's innocence. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Did you know that the first act of Congress was to open with prayer? Or that the Declaration of Independence mentions God 4 times? Or that George Washington's first order to his troops was to live and act as becomes a Christian soldier? Did you know that in 1642, Harvard University stated every student is earnestly pressed to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life? Or that Noah Webster said education is useless without the Bible? These and over 2,000 other quotations revealing the godly heritage of America are found in America's God and Country Encyclopedia of Quotations by William Federer. This reference volume of over 800 pages cites founding fathers, presidents, statesmen, constitutions, and court decisions. An excellent reference guide to know our heritage, and it's available for a donation of $22. Call 1-800-729-9829.
I'm sitting here going through scores of stories, wondering which ones I can get in yet on today's program. So let me just take a few more minutes to get some of these out to you and hear some of the matters that are going on across the nation. Again, these news roundups are certainly there to keep you informed, but certainly due to time restraints, cannot possibly delve into all the matters that are going on. But it certainly gives us an opportunity to be a reminder to be praying for this nation and the matters that we are facing here across this land. Well, some of the issues that are going on here, and just kind of pulling some of these random stories here today on the broadcast. Interesting what is taking place here in, this is WND.com. A university dumped a professor who revealed that polar bears are actually thriving. You know, it doesn't fit the narrative of the global climate alarmist. The Canadian zoologist who led the way in debunking the claim that climate change is endangering polar bears says the University of Victoria bowed to outside pressure and fired her. Susan Crockford, an adjunct assistant professor at University of Victoria in Canada, 15 years, said her renewal application was rejected without explanation. And she is, despite her high profile as a speaker, she's author due to her polar bear research. Her research showed that polar bear populations are stable, even thriving, contrary to the claims of climate activists that their numbers are plummeting due to shrinking Arctic sea ice. Very interesting. Doesn't fit the narrative. Sorry, you can't report the truth. You must follow, you know, the alarmism that we're trying to get out here across this land. By the way, a study by the watchdog group Parents Television Council, this is ChristianHeadlines.com, found a 28% increase in violence and a 44% increase in profanity over the past decade in shows rated TV PG. It's part of what they call content creep. That's an increase in offensive content within a given rating compared to similarly rated programs just a decade ago. Do you know what your children, your family are watching? Daily Signal reporting for the second year in a row, a biological male has won a women's cycling championship. Rachel McKinnon, who was born male, identifies as a transgender woman, won the Masters Track Cycling World Championships in the female 35 to 39 age sprint category last weekend in Manchester, England. The win has also caused considerable controversy among other female athletes and observers who note that obvious unfairness of a biological male competing against women. McKinnon's bodily advantages defeat the purpose of sex-segregated sports and nullify the hard work and training of female cyclists. This coming Monday, for those of you in the local area, we will be dealing further with this matter of transgenderism on our TV program In Focus Monday night at 7 o'clock Central Time, which we do stream, by the way, at vcyamerica.tv. In other news, a victory in Georgia for now. And that is a Georgia school district has delayed transgender bathrooms after parents revolted. This is a Pickens County school district in Georgia, reports LifeSiteNews.com. It will delay implementation of a plan to let gender-confused students use bathrooms meant for the opposite sex following a massive turnout of angered parents before the school board. Hats off to parents who are taking a stand and making a difference, getting active and involved in that regard. I'd like to give you opportunity to weigh in on these issues here today. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. I'll be randomly pulling some other stories as we go along here, 800-733-9829. By the way, WND.com also reporting, and we'll be dealing with this whole matter of witchcraft next Wednesday, Lord willing, on Crosstalk. But at 1 minute before the stroke of midnight, Eastern Time, October 25th, thousands of self-identified witches plan to simultaneously conduct a ritual meant to bind President Trump and all those who abet him. The practice has taken place monthly since President's inauguration. Notes Michael Snyder at the end of his on his blog, but with Halloween approaching and the impeachment inquiry underway, it's getting renewed media attention. They having a binding spell on President Trump and his supporters. And haven't we said often that we are in a spiritual battle? How evident does that make it seem now? World Pride 2023 has announced their location. They just selected Sydney, Australia as a host city for World Pride 2023, making it the first Australian city, the first city in the Southern Hemisphere to host such an event. Let's go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Again, our number is 800-733-9829. Monroe, Wisconsin. Mark, you're on the air.
Yeah, my comment is this. Adam Schiff's hatred for Donald Trump and the American voters that voted him, I think, is really similar to the Old Testament, Haman's hatred for Mordecai and the Jews. So I'm wondering perhaps ultimately if the Barr-Durham investigation will actually have an outcome to it that, and again, I'm playing on words here, that it will ultimately end up in a Nancy House Pelosian.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Stephen in Missouri, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, I just have a question I'm confused about, and I was hoping you could help me. The Christians that say they back up a woman's choice to have an abortion, just how Christian are they? What can we say to somebody like that?
Well, you know, they've lost their moral compass, Stephen, because our basis of authority is not in opinion, it's not in the latest polls, but what does Scripture say on the issue? We know that God is the author of life. We know that Scripture says that God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. And so they have lost their moral compass and we'd have to find out what their source of authority is for their life. But it is not a biblical position at all. Human life indeed is sacred. God so loved this world so much that he sent his only begotten Son to this earth to pay for the penalty of man's sin upon the cross of Calvary.
Yes, sir. Well, I'll pray for them, and thank you for helping me.
Thank you for the call. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829 from BreakingIsraelNews.com. The notoriously anti-Semitic campus organization Students for Justice in Palestine, the SJP, will be holding their 2019 National Conference at the University of Minnesota November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. The goal of the annual gathering is to provide training and support in running anti-Israel events, the BDS, the Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions campaigns on campus. And according to the BreakingIsraelNews.com, however, in reality, the National SJB Conference features open support for terrorism and participants taking part in chants that incite violence against Jews. Interesting indeed, as we continue to see anti-Semitism on the increase here. Matter of fact, here's a story that came out from Times of Israel. The headline, 9 out of 10 U.S. Jews worry about anti-Semitism, and most think it's getting worse. 9 out of 10 Jews in the U.S. believe anti-Semitism is a problem in the country, with widespread fear that it's on the rise, according to a recent survey by the American Jewish Committee. It's the largest, most comprehensive conducted among Jews on the topic of Jew hatred in the United States to date. Our number here, 800-733-9829. Roy in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Hi, I just would want to make a comment. I'm so grateful for you guys discussing all these political issues that actually are going on in the world and affecting Christians, and it's greatly grieving and upsetting to me that the other Christian radio stations around our nation aren't discussing these things, and I'm not trying to pick on them or put them down, but I wish that listeners would call into the other stations and ask them to address these real issues of the LGBTQ issues that are going on, as well as the political issues that are greatly affecting Christians and Christian principles in our world nowadays.
Well, we know, even as the prophet Hosea said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And we just sense, we know these things are happening in the world, and just like that that watchman on the wall who has a responsibility to sound the alarm when danger approaches, we take that seriously, that there's a responsibility that we have as a Christian and as a broadcaster to keep our listeners informed.
Amen. Well, my prayers are with you guys, and I hope the listeners of this station would even push the other stations and other venues to talk about this, because you're one of the very few, if not one of just a very few, who are willing to discuss these issues from a Christian perspective and really tackle them at all.
Thank you, Roy. We've got Carrie calling from Lexington, Kentucky. You're on the air, Carrie.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually thinking about a couple of things that you guys have been talking about, and I, too, would like to pray about some of the things that we talk about. And I feel like my concern is that, in general, we're becoming more intolerant of the idea that all sin is equal. And so I'm confused about how we reconcile things like people who choose to have an abortion or people who have gender confusion. How do we reconcile the fact that all sin is equal, and yet we condemn people? I'm struggling with how I reconcile that. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, well, keep in mind, it's not us who are condemning people. We need to use the Word of God, Carrie, as our authority in all things. And so it's not what Jim Schneider has to say. It's not what Pastor so-and-so has to say. It's what does the Word of God has to say. And keep in mind that even as it relates to sin itself, not all sin is exactly equal. Now, all sin separates us from God, but even as Jesus said in John chapter 19, when they're talking about Judas, that he was guilty of the greater sin. There are different degrees of sin. There are certainly sins against God and sins against one's body and so forth, but not all is equal, but all does separate us from God. But there is going to be those who will have a greater punishment, just as those who are believers in Christ, there are some who will have greater reward than others as well.
Okay, so I guess what I'm, and maybe I phrased myself wrong, but I guess what I'm confused about is, you know, rather, so there's more talk about these hot button issues and things than there is in general about the moral decay of our country. And that is not to say that abortion or transgenderism isn't a problem in our country. It's more to say that there are bigger moral issues at play than just a gender identity confusion or a person's choice. And so I feel like we're looking at issues rather than the bigger picture, which is that in this country, we've started polarizing ourselves because of single views, and when we need to look at the Word of God and think that it should be about bringing people together and not judging, or that's just my struggle. I don't know how to approach the topic without seeming as though I am being judge or juror in a decision that I can't completely understand.
Sure, and I appreciate your honesty with that, Carrie, but keep in mind, and we're just seconds from the break, but keep in mind that in this, it is not, again, us that are judge and jury on it. And if you heard our program in the middle part of this week where we talked about the hijacking of our calendar, we are not seeing dates on the calendar to celebrate thievery, Thieves Coming Out Day or Adulterer Awareness Day and those types of things, where we are seeing such a proliferation of the sin of LGBT that is proliferating our calendar and is dominating our society as well. I've got to take this break. Thank you, for Carrie, for the call. Back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. In 1948, John Rawlings Rees and G. Brock Chisholm founded the World Federation of Mental Health. They had many goals, but one of them was to destroy traditional values. In fact, make them a sign of mental illness, parental authority. They also wanted to destroy the free market system and declared that if you were defending your private property, it was a sign of your being neurotic. In fact, my friend John Stormer, who wrote the book None Dare Call It Treason, said this: few legislators who passed the model mental health laws realized that Chisholm and that of his associates defined mental illness as a sense of loyalty to a particular nation, a sense of loyalty to a moral code, a strict adherence to the concepts of right and wrong, and opposition to foreign aid or communism, end quote. Does that not sound familiar? If you defend our borders and national sovereignty and national security and oppose socialism and social justice, you're deemed mentally ill, a bigot, a hater. Where does this come from? World Federation of Mental Health.
This is Crosstalk on VCY American. To carry our recent caller here before the break, and certainly what we are seeing today and our news roundup, we covered many, many different topics and issues, and yes, we have focused in on this case. I mean, to me, it's absolutely horrendous to know that a court is considering removing a dad from a decision-making process about having a 7-year-old son be chemically treated in order to become identify as transgender. You cannot change one's gender. But what we are seeing is a direct attack upon God's word in this regard. It's a direct attack upon what we see in the book of Genesis, for instance, how God created male and female. And we are living in a generation, as I've said previously on this program, we have gone from thus saith the Lord to yea, hath God said, where we question what God has already declared in his word to be sin, and not acceptable, that is wrong. And so when we see such a proliferation of this taking place, and we see that in our society today, we become like that proverbial frog in the kettle, the temperature is heating up and we become oblivious to what's going on. But I'd encourage you to go back to the program from Wednesday in which we talked about the total domination that is happening in our society today on those who are declaring LGBT to be normal and healthy. It's not normal, and it's not healthy. Let's go back to the phone lines. Merle is calling from Tennessee. Merle, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim. In response to the lady, it was basically implying that all sins are the same. In the Bible, there's sins that are abominations to God. Not all sins are abominations, but there's abominations to God, which means, if you look the word up, disgusting. And it has a lot to do with sexual sins, including homosexuality, transgenderism. They are an abomination. So I just wanted to make that clear. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Merle. Let's go to Leroy, Atlanta, Georgia. You're on the air.
Hey, Jim, a couple of things. With the mother who's trying to change her son into a daughter, isn't she a pediatrician?
Yes.
And pediatricians are doctors for children. Shouldn't they be taking her license for such behavior? I mean, Dr. Cotella could school her a lot.
Yeah.
But as far as what happened here locally in Pickens County, it's been reported, and the superintendent of that area said this on local news, that they received death threats, and that was the reason why they went ahead and did not go forward in merging the bathrooms. But what is very interesting is they've never said who the death threats came from.
Hmm.
So I personally don't believe the death threats actually happened. Because if they did, you already know.
Yeah.
They would be picking somebody up for it.
Thank you, Leroy. Appreciate your perspective. Monica, Mobile, Alabama, you're on the air.
Yes, I learn a lot from your Crosstalk program, and I really thank God for it. And also, that was great news for the try to impeach Nancy Pelosi. Now, where do I sign up? Is that online?
Well, I believe that was a story came from change.org is where that originated with.
Okay, so just go to change.org.
I believe that's the one that does the, let's see. It's the White House website, We the People. It's a We the People petition, so it would be through the website. You'd have to do an internet search. Story's a few pages here, and I don't have that readily available to me.
Okay. Thank you.
It's something about petitions.whitehouse.gov. You can do that, or check White House petitions, and I'm sure you'll come across it there.
Okay, because she's one of the biggest traders in this, in our wonderful country. So, okay, I'll go there. And thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. Fort Scott, Kansas. Kent, you're on the air.
Hi, yeah. I'm just calling in to make a comment about how, with current issues such as one we're dealing with, not getting the accurate information out is hurting. The victims are really the people who are having the sex change done. And when you talk about the broader issue as well of homosexuality, the facts are that there's been a huge increase in suicidal ideation with people who have their sex change operations. Many of them now are trying to have their operation reversed.
Yeah.
And when you look at, like, homosexuality, the average life expectancy is in the 40s. And it gets portrayed as something that is noble and beneficial to the people who are, quote, unquote, coming out. But in reality, they have over, I think some studies have shown they have over 700 partners. So it's, the real truth is completely different than what the media portrays, to the detriment of the, you know, the people in this lifestyle. So.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so often we see the, you know, signs, love is love, but in cases like you've described here, Kent, love is destructive in those terms. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye. And our final call, Lori in Michigan. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. I was going to say that, you know, that in looking Genesis, the very foundation of everything started with one man and one woman in the garden. And when we took and we threw all that away and said, that wasn't important. We just eroded everything. That is the moral decay of society. That is the total destruction when we completely obliterated what God had planned and the family, the type of family that God planned. And I've been over there in the Dead Sea area, and I've seen the area where Sodom and Gomorrah once were, and that's where we get the word sodomite. You know, it's salt. It's a salt pit. It's death. It's destruction. And it's really sad. There are levels of sin. Proverbs chapter 6 is a indicator of the different levels God hates. He has seven deadly sins,
yeah.
And he does list them in order of the things that he hates
yeah. The
most. So I just thought I'd mention that. And
thank you.
All sin is terrible, but yes, there are degrees. You're right.
Thank you for the call here, Lori. That talks about the sins, yea, seven, are an abomination unto God. We have that from Proverbs. Another story sent to us by one of the listeners here, warning parents, She-Ra and the Princesses of Power introduces a non-binary character, Double Trouble, voiced by non-binary star Jacob Tobiah. This is a Netflix series, She-Ra and the Princesses of Power. And that's what's so destructive, too, is this going after children, going after young minds in this regard. You see, as John chapter 10 reminds us, that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But friends, here's the good news. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Do you have that abundant life in Christ? Do you know him as your Savior? If not, friends, this is a wake-up call. We don't know what tomorrow holds for us, but today is the day of acceptance. Today, the day of salvation. Place your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. By the way, it's Friday. The Lord's Day is coming. I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church this Lord's Day. Thanks for listening.
Been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.